I'll give a summary and review on the status of magnetic moment. The physics and the particle physics and astrophysics aspects has been covered earlier on this morning, but I'll point out a few key points. The stress will be on the recent results from a survey of the recent results of the Dirac experiments, some future projects, and summary. This is a well-known poster, but I try to turn it around to, so that you can look at it, look at an old subject with a new view. The magnetic moment is a term, is a label that parameterizes our ignorance of the of a possible interaction of the neutrino with the photons through its magnetic effect, through its spin, thereby neutrino flipping a spin from the left-handed to a right-handed state. So we don't know what happens here, but in general, this process is should proceed. It requires so long as neutrino is mass is massive, non-zero neutrino mass, and we know that it is now. And there are many, many ways to do it. It depends on model building. And this is one of the earlier ways to draw the to fill up this circle in the minimally extended standard model, for instance. Yeah. The study of the neutrino magnetic moments revealed fundamental neutrino properties as well as interactions. It is a channel to differentiate Dirac and Majorana neutrinos, at least conceptually. A positive results at this point would be a surprise, but still experimentally we can look for surprises. And the negative limits may help to constrain parameters space for model builders with future precision oscillation data, as well as in other fields like supersymmetric, SUSY was mentioned, and so on. Along the way, the experimental studies would have to explore new neutrino sources and to understand the known ones. So it's something to learn along this line. And we have to explore the source as well as the detection channels. We have to explore new detection channels and techniques, especially at low energy. And then we also learn a bit about the role of neutrinos in astrophysics, a subject that links particle physics and astrophysics together via the neutrinos. A one-page summary of the particle physics. What we mean magnetic moment is in fact a convoluted term. The new gamma vertex can be in general written in this form, where the form, the real form factors is this electric and magnetic dipole moment factors. And then this is the electromagnetic tensor and the spin and so on, the standard form. They are IJ, so they are many, they are, in general, they are quite a combination of this. However, this the electric and magnetic dipole moments can be restricted, constrained by symmetry principles. The CP violating theories and CP conserving theories might want different patterns of it. It depends on Dirac or Majorana neutrinos, depends on whether you have a diagonal or transition magnetic moments. For instance, this is well known that for Majorana neutrinos and I equals to J, so diagonal moments, these terms are zero. So for Majorana neutrinos, we cannot have diagonal magnetic moments. And experimentally, when we say that in this experiment, quote, the limit on neutrino magnetic moment is in fact this term, which is a convolution of the incoming neutrino state at the detector, maybe after some oscillation distance, coupled to this mu ij, where mu ij is beta minus e. This minus sign is picked up by the gamma 5 term, summed over the final state. So it is a convoluted quantity. So the measurable, this is measurable, is an effective and convoluted parameter similar to the effective mass parameter in double beta decay. However, it is more complicated because the physics information also depends on the exact initial state neutrinos that comes into your detectors. So for double beta decay, it is every double beta decay experiment probe the same effective mass parameter, whereas a different neutrino magnetic moment limit may mean different things depending on the initial state of the neutrino compositions reaching the detector. Now, these are the experimentally, what are the experimental manifestations? So neutrino can have heavy neutrinos can decay, emitting photons, or in a medium, it can emit a Dyrenkov radiations. A photon in a plasma medium can decay to two neutrinos, plasmon decay. The most commonly used as a tool is the probe. It's a neutrino to neutrino electron scattering, whereas the neutrino transfers momentum to the electron, and then we measure the recoil energy of the electrons. And finally, in the neutrino propagates in the magnetic medium, in the magnetic field, it may flip its spins. So there are various channels. The minimally extended standard model, which people worked out in the old days, assumed direct neutrinos diagonal moments. Indeed, the magnetic moment would be discouragingly small. is on the order of 10 to minus 20. But there are ways in the model builders, for the model builders, to significantly enhance that by incorporating Majorana neutrinos, transition moments, as well as the right-handed states. And then this list can go on. So the minimally extended standard model, we are really, as mentioned this morning, way off, 10 orders of magnitude off. But but nature may provide us with some surprises. To study it, so astrophysics-wise, astrophysics tries to derive the consequences of the change of the neutrino spin states in an astrophysics medium. So the next transparencies would give some examples on this. For in an laboratory experiment, we would like to study this recoil energy, this recoil electron, which has a typical spectrum of this form. This is the differential spectrum of this neutrino electron scattering. Notice the 1 over T. T is the recoil energy electron. So at low neutrino energy, then this term blows up, and then it can be higher than the standard model cross-sections. And the neutrino radiative decay, which is this term, is in fact related to magnetic moments via this formula. As astrophysics bounds or indications comes from Big Bang nucleosynthesis degree of freedom. You can comes from stellar cooling via the plasmon decay. If the photons would become neutrinos, so then the cooling might be different. So supernova 1987A, the cooling, people studied the cooling, and by assuming that if the magnetic moment effect would turn an active neutrino to sterile neutrinos, then the cooling would provide some information. And recently, the absence of solar anti-neutrinos from various experiments, including the Camland results, in Camland paper in 03, with this bounds, we also give us some hints. But notice that this is last year's result, and on Monday, we saw the Camland new result spectrums, and there's a couple of tantalizing high-energy events, so stay tuned on this respect. Overall, the astrophysics bounds gives us a neutrino magnetic moment, astro. Remember that it depends on the initial state. So when we discuss magnetic moments, we may want to quantify what are we talking about. In the astrophysics context, the bounds is around 10 to 10, minus 10 or 10 to minus 12 Bohr magnetons. But here, the arguments involve some various assumptions, including the first one, for instance, astrophysics modeling. For instance, the simple thing is, simple one is the for to arrive at the bounds from the solar limit on solar antineutrinos, we need to know the solar magnetic field is time and space dependent. So this is the modeling. Neutrino properties. Some of these arguments work only for direct neutrinos, some only for Majorana neutrinos, so we want to distinguish that. And usually the arguments that do not involve other enormous effects, which may be there. And one needs to worry about the global treatments, how to treat the complicated astrophysics object in the presence of oscillations, matter effects, and competition among channels, interference among channels. So it becomes more complex if one wants to derive it rigorously. And for completeness, as a historical footnote, it may not be important by now, magnetic moments and the solar neutrinos. Conceptually, neutrinos produced in the sun can flip its spin, having a spin flavor precession with a result resonance effect, thereby changing its spin states, so giving a deficit of the solar electron neutrino. This idea has been used to explain the apparent anti-correlation of the chlorine data with the sunspot cycles in the late 80s. And this scenario is still compatible with all solar neutrinos data. Solar neutrinos data alone can be explained by a magnetic effect inside the sun. However, Camland is a beautifully independent experiment. So it independently confirms and picks up LMA as the solution of the solar neutrino problem. And so the spin flavor precessions mechanisms cannot be the dominant contributions, cannot explain the solar neutrinos problem. So that end of the story. But then we can twist the argument the other way around, that solar neutrinos data plus, but we know that it is now the LMA region, no anti-neutrinos, then it would constrain after some B field modeling on the magnetic moment of solar. Again, 10 to minus 10, 10 to minus 12 Bohr magneton range after some modeling. Direct experiments is we do experiment on Earth. We have to use source which is understood by independent means, for instance, reactor, accelerator. Solar neutrino is by now understood at the level of what is the composition arriving on Earth, so we can use that. And in the future, maybe neutrino sources. Then we look for a spectral distortions of the new E scattering, in particular at low energy where it's got a boost, and look for effects beyond the standard model. For reactor neutrino, we have an additional handle of having a reactor on-off comparison to filter out backgrounds. And for solar neutrinos, one may have to do some background assumptions or based on other constraints to know what the background is. In this context, oscillation can be a background. The limits. The limits from direct experiments is independent of the neutrino final state. So neutrino final state is valuable for direct and Marani neutrinos, diagonal and transition moment, no modeling involved. However, the interpretations, as mentioned, would depend on the initial state of the neutrinos arriving at your detector. So I go through a list of the results recently. So on the solar neutrinos, Super Kamil Kande in a paper studied the high energy solar neutrinos and then studied the possible spectral distortions and place bounds on the magnetic moment. SK data alone is 3.6. With all solar neutrinos data, all solar neutrinos data pick up LMA already 1.3, plus CAMLAN, 1.1. So this is the red part is a 1.1, the red spectrum. It would be what a 1.1 10 to minus 10 Bohr magneton would look like in Super K. Borexino in the small CTF facilities also plays a bounce, but using its lower energy RIM 7, and then it's by rare speed. If assuming, do not assume background, it's 1.2, 10 to minus 9, and assume a linear fit. This is ad hoc. This is basically an assumption that it's 5.5, 10 to minus 10. Notice that at this level, in fact, the two limits are not exactly identical because the composition of the high energy and the low energy solar neutrinos arriving on Earth are slightly different. Accelerator. LSND studies also neutrino electron scatterings. Those say they select single electron events and based on standard model cross sections of the muon neutrinos, and then they can measure the electron neutrino cross sections. There's a agrees with standard model, they set a limit of 1.1 10 to minus 9 for electron, and then 6.8 10 to minus 10 for muon. The donut experiment is the one that observes the new tau directly. So the new tau is observed at an expected level, so there's a tau neutrino exists, and then it comes along. Look for single electrons at level above standard model cross sections. They expect 2.3 background events, only one event is observed, and they set a limit of this 10 to minus 7 for tau neutrino. Reactor neutrino at Bouguer, the Muon experiment is using a CF4 time projection chamber with an active shield, active Compton veto as of liquid scintillator. They have excellent single electron track, even by event information, and a 4-pi liquid scintillator veto. And they distinguish start in the start and the end of an event, and they can measure the scattering angle, and therefore have an estimate of the neutrino energy. They do on-off comparison and background forward-backward background comparisons, so because the neutrino scattering event tends to go forward. The MUNO data published last year, so many days on and off, looks like this. Above 900 keV, it agrees well with the standard model predictions, but below twice. Below 900 kV, there's an excess of count. There are no quantitative explanations yet. One of the reasons is because the low energy part of the reactor neutrino spectrum is not well known. In this plot, you appreciate that the standard model is here, in this case, a background, and one tries to look for small effects on top of a background. And then you have to know the effect as well as measure the background well. So there's some difficulty here. But nevertheless, various limits can be set depending on what sort of range that one set. The best way to look given the data, the best way to look at it is to study the data above 900 keV, and in which a limit of 1.0, 10 to minus 10 can be derived. But it seems that one has to study the hidden neutrino source as well as background further along the line. In Taiwan, at the Taiwan Huaxing reactor, the taxonal collaboration adopt a simple compact all solid design of a germanium detector enclosed by active and passive shielding, a simple design, and we focus on the low energy range, 10 to 100 keV. Remember that the MUNU is on 1 MeV, so we are 2 orders of magnitude lower. Because for the high signal rate, this is 1 over T dependence, as well as robustness. For two reasons, because at this range, the standard model the standard model would not become the background. The magnetic moment effect would be larger than the much larger than the standard model effect in the sensitivity range we are looking for. And secondly, from the formula, at a range where recall energy is smaller than the neutrino energy, then the effect depends not on the details of the spectral shape, but only the total integrated flux of the from the reactor. And this is well known. 6 fission antineutrinos and then 1.2 neutrino capture neutrino from. So this part is well known. The integrated flux is known. The spectral shape is more problematic. And that and we are not sensitive to that. And then we won't go through the various standard vetoes. The taxonal data with this much many hours of reactor on and off is published last year. We achieved a background at the level of the cold dark matter experiments, one per day per kilo per kg, the same famous CPD unit. Our analysis threshold is 12 keV, just above the atomic effects, no excess of Kang, and from which we set the limit on this residual plot, for instance, of 1.3×10⁻¹⁰ Bohr magneton. We have accumulated more data now, and we should be reaching a sensitivity of 1.0 with the data that we have in hand by now. So this is a graphic presentation of the effect. This is the threshold as well as the magnetic moment limit. Previous experiments are at the 2×10⁻¹⁰ range from the reactor neutrinos. In fact, the first experiment that observed neutrino electron scattering at the reactor, the Savannah River, the data was reinterpreted. And then it was consistent with a positive result. Mu nu sits here, and then the taxonal sits here. So we are at the 1×10⁻¹⁰ range. Notice the blue curve. The blue curve is the ratio of the magnetic moment, of the cross-section of magnetic moment versus standard model cross-section. So we are sitting at a comfortably big ratio, such that we don't have to worry about the standard model background. Whereas this class of experiment, we have to demonstrate those. Neutrino radiative decay lifetime. It's related to magnetic moment. And again, magnetic moment surge is a sensitive probe to the radiative decay. It's an indirect probe, but nevertheless, it's much better than even the supernova 1987A. This is neutrino mass versus lifetime. So this was excluded by direct searches, but the magnetic moment surge would be is sensitive to this region of parameter space, and then a 1×10⁻¹⁰ Bohr magneton would have excluded that. Grimes et al. Have done a combined analysis of putting solar neutrino, solar experiments, as well as related experiments together. They assume some Marani neutrinos, therefore only transition moments, the spectral shape of reactor and a super K. And they define a vector lambda, which is from a different magnetic moment component. And then reactor and solar have different forms. And they derived, after this combined analysis of 4.0×10⁻¹⁰ and 1.8×10⁻¹⁰, with the solar neutrino alone and solar neutrino plus reactor data. So the reactor data in this scheme is providing much constraints to the overall magnetic moment bound. In the future, how the sensitivity would improve? The magnetic moment would the sensitivity goes as 1/√ of neutrino flux as well as the 1/4 power of background mass and time. So a real improvement of the speed statistical boost of the magnetic moment would have to come from a different neutrino source. You have a more source. And various sources have been discussed, artificial neutrino sources, as well as beta beam earlier on this week. But increasing the source is one thing, but simultaneously, we have to keep the threshold low to keep this conditions where the magnetic moment effect is still big compared to the standard model rate, because the standard model, you may not be able to measure and predict it properly, and then to maintain a low background level. Along this line, there's a gamma project at Russia under preparations there. So they are start building the detector. We're having some improved parameters to the taxonal experiment, have a higher flux, larger mass, and a lower threshold, and trying to achieve a sensitivity at 3×10⁻¹⁰. Status is under preparation. The Marmont project is a project. It's an R&D project. It's very very ambitious in this specification. Trying to build a 40 megacurie tritium source of this tremendously high flux and build ultra-low threshold detector to 10 eV based on cryogenic detector or high-purity uranium detector in the avalanche mode. And then the goal would be to a 2.5×10⁻¹⁰ Bohr magneton. So this is a conceptual drawing showing the detector and the source. For taxonomy, we are we have a different approach. So this is a reacting neutrino interaction cross sections versus visible energy. So this is a measurable energy versus cross sections. For our data, for the discussion of the magnetic moment, we focus on this range, which is this is MeV. So it is from 10 kV to 1 MeV to 100 kV. We've tried to focus on magnetic moment. We have data, ongoing data taking, with 200 kilo of cesium iodide, trying to give a measurements of the standard model neutrino scattering. And then we have an R&D on the ultra low energy germanium detector to try to make an attempt to measure coherent scattering of the neutrino on the nucleus. And the threshold have to be 100 eV. Yeah. For just a quick flip of our R&D project. So we have, this is a measurement. We're showing a threshold, indeed, is less than 100 eV. With bell shape technique, probably it can go to the sub 100 eV range. And the priority applications for this detector, this is a prototype, but we can scale it up. Will be neutrino coherent scattering with reacting neutrino and probably dark matter surges. But along the way, a bonus project would be to improve magnetic moment to 2 times 10 to minus 11. If the same background level can be achieved as it was at 10 keV. So finally, a summary of an outlook. Magnetic moment, neutrino magnetic moment is a conceptually rich subject. There are much neutrino physics and astrophysics can be explored, can be learned. It's fun, intellectual fun. I remind you that neutrino oscillations is probing the difference of mass as well as the mixing maybe set phases. And double beta decay, adding into the nature of neutrino, Majorana, and Dirac. And for magnetic moment, we have all this compared as well as how the neutrino interact with the outside world. In this case, the gamma. However, there is, as it was pointed out this morning, there was no practical consequences remain to be seen yet. There's no indications where to find them, although neutrino mass predicts that it should exist. There are various experimental studies trying to push on new neutrino sources and detection techniques, range, as well as channel. And this is nice, I think, that to incorporate the pursuit of the further pushing the limit of magnetic moment, incorporate it into other programs, which may find applications in other programs. After all, to study neutrino physics, we need source, we need detectors. So it's nice to do R&D along that line as well. So finally, this is a summary talk. This is a review talk. So a review talk has to be balanced. So the balancing is to present you the two views. A realist view would be saying that observing magnetic moment in a next round of efforts would be a big surprise. And even the optimist, given what we know now, would have to agree on this statement. But the optimist standpoint may be that surprises need not be really surprising in our field. Thank you very much.
We are optimists. Thank you very much. Questions over there?
With such a low threshold, have you thought about looking for oscillations with the Texano reactor?
Oscillation. We're trying to put as close as possible to the reactor core. So we will not, this is not an oxidation project.
I mean, have you thought of building a bigger detector farther away to, I mean, again, with such a low threshold that opens up possibilities. Have you thought about building a bigger detector farther away?
Not seriously think of that, but conceptually, we can do this. But the first thing is to demonstrate that we can build a detector to 1 kilo range. They can put at a closed site and see neutrino first. And based on this, then there might be other various applications, including what was discussed yesterday about reactor neutrino monitoring and world peace and so on.
One more urgent question. If not urgent? Okay, Christina.
Question?
Do you have a microphone?
There's one over there.
Okay, you can. We are very late, so I propose you can have this discussion later. Thank you very much again. Next speaker is.